Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Thursday. Can't believe how many things there are to talk about in sports live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and right here on FS1. 1 hour from now, Greg Cosell, our NFL meat sandwich. If you bet the NFL, if you play fantasy football, or you just love talking about professional football in America, my favorite 10 minutes of football talk during the week. Greg Cosell, 1 hour. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm doing fabulous.
Have you ever had a job, Joy, that you kind of conform to the job? It doesn't feel like it's in your DNA.
Yes.
You don't know. We've all done that before.
Of course.
So when I used to work at the other place and I interviewed at Fox, the Fox people kept saying to me, "You're not an ESPN guy. You're not a Connecticut guy. You're a West Coast Fox guy. You just conformed for 10 years. You're coachable." And I want to start the show talking about that today. Tom Brady has put his arms around Antonio Brown. I mean, he's moving in with a family. Tom Brady's brand is clean cut. I mean, it is clean living. Yoga, avocado ice cream, wholesome. No drama. Focus. And now he's putting his arms around Antonio Brown, who is defined by drama. Domestic incidents, throwing furniture out of a building window, almost killing a kid, battery and burglary charges, ongoing sexual assault. People are saying, why is he desperate? This is the year Tom Brady is going off brand, right? Yeah, you know, guy gets a divorce, buys a sports car, you know. In New England, we thought he was stoic and part of a system. In Tampa, he's taking these unnecessary risks. Or is he? Or is this who Tom Brady's always been? He was just conforming to New England. California dude, this is who he is. He's a risk taker. Antonio Brown talked yesterday about Tom Brady, and to say he admires him is an understatement. Here it is.
Tom is my boy, one of the greatest leaders to be around. You know, he's encouraging, always inspiring. He brings out the best of the people around him. He wants the best for everyone around him. I mean, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Nothing he have done in the past matter. And I just learned a lot from him. He's been a great guy in my corner and one of my close friends.
I don't think Tom's lying. I don't think AB is. Derek Jeter always felt like New York. The good-looking single guy for all those years. He felt like a Yankee. Troy Aikman has always felt like a Dallas Cowboy to me. Big Ben has always felt like a Steeler. Tom Brady's never felt like Boston. He just conformed. I hear people in media saying in New England, he's changed. Yeah, that's why I know he's not Boston. They never do. Boston's the most, and I lived right next to it, the most parochial city in the country of any size. Providence and Boston, statistically, demographically, they do studies on this. They don't watch national sports. Tom Brady is aspirational. He married a supermodel. He's creating a global brand. He has houses in Costa Rica, Montana. Tom's always been about growth and evolving. That's not Boston. Boston is you work hard, make a decent living. You buy a summer home on the Cape or maybe Maine, and that's about as far as you leave. An occasional vacation down to Florida. That's what Boston is. They stay there forever. Tom Brady is fun and happy. Boston's cranky and intense. Look at Tom Brady's lifestyle brand. Does it say Boston? No drinking. Avocado ice cream. Lots of yoga. That does not say Boston. It says California, where Tom has multiple homes. It says West. Tom Brady was never Boston. Belichick is. Smart, academic, cranky, intense. Plays golf on the Cape in the summer. That's about as far as he goes. Maybe a trip to Florida down, you know, Jupiter, Florida, play some golf. Belichick is very New England. Brady never has been. In the summers, he got out of there. The minute he could get out of there, he went out of there. He goes international. He had a place in New York. He goes west skiing in Montana. He's got places in L.A. and Palm Springs. I just feel Tom Brady conformed for 20 years. And I think all of us have done that. Brady's not changing. Brady's always been willing to take risks. He's always befriended guys who've had issues. I mean, Gronk is not your typical NFL players. They were super tight. Go look at his lifestyle. He's not Boston. He's aspirational. He's happy. He's always adapting. He's always growing. That is not Boston. I lived right between New York and Boston. New Yorkers tend to be more aspirational, a little more global. Boston's parochial. His brand is no drinking. They're defined by Sam Adams. I mean, breweries, that is Boston. So I don't buy that Tom has changed. I keep hearing that. I think this is who is closer to who he is. Fun, adapting, evolving, thinking big, taking big risks, California thinker, always evolving, trying new stuff. That is the opposite of Boston, and it's absolutely what I think Brady is. So I think this is interesting. So the big story last weekend, and you wouldn't have think it would be the big story, but the Tua thing, we love our young quarterbacks. And, you know, Tua plays at Alabama. He's a legendary high schooler from Hawaii. He goes to Alabama. There's a term, Tua time, when joy's from there. We talk about it all the time. It was fun. Like, Rams-Dolphins wouldn't have had a lot of juice. It's like with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Instead, it was a lot of juice. And there's a story this morning. Brian Flores, the head coach, who I like a lot, he says, listen, I don't know where this came from, all this talk about we're auditioning Tua for the next 9 or 10 games. I don't know where it's come from. Here he is.
I'm comfortable with what comes out of these 10 games. I think since I've been here, I think everybody's heard me talk about the development of players, improvement on a daily basis. So I just don't see how someone close to Dolphins thinking could see that, could say that this would be a 10-game audition. That's just, you know, not sure where that came from.
Because it's obvious. Ask yourself this question. Ask yourself this question. Find me the other examples where a red-hot veteran quarterback has won 3 of 4. The 3 wins are all blowouts. The loss is close to maybe the best team in the league, second-best Seattle. In a winnable division, by the way, for the first time in years, it's winnable. It is winnable now. Even Ryan Fitzpatrick, who went to Harvard, he's pretty smart, he was shocked by it. I mean, when they moved off Eli Manning in New York, he was washed. He was no longer productive. Cincinnati didn't have a choice. You had to go to Joe Burrow. They didn't have anybody else. The Chargers were going to sit Justin Herbert for the year until a doctor, Tyrod Taylor, punctured lung, ready to go, kid. When you start looking at the young quarterbacks, we know, but Baltimore, they don't want to play Joe. They wanted to win games with Joe Flacco and let Lamar sit for a year. That wasn't the plan. Joe Flacco was bad. They started losing. They put Lamar in. What? Find me the examples of veteran quarterback really winning. 3 of his last 4 games are blowout wins. The only loss is very close to maybe a top 2 team in the league, Seattle. Even the quarterback is, a Harvard guy is shocked, and we don't think it's a little bit of an audition because Miami has Houston's first-round pick, and right now it's a top 5 pick. Go look at the last 3 drafts. I'm going to list the first-round quarterbacks, all of them. 4 of them are hits. They have full support in the building. Burrow, Herbert, Kyler Murray, and Lamar Jackson. They have everybody in the building is in, and they may struggle right now with Baltimore, but Baltimore came a play from beating Pittsburgh. Those 4 guys have total support in the building. The 8 others, there are questions in the building. Jordan Love didn't have a good camp. Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins, Baker, Sam Darnold. Josh Allen has struggled early and struggling now. Josh Rosen. And I think Tua. because Tua doesn't have the amazing speed of a Russell Wilson or Lamar or Kyler. He doesn't have the size of a Josh Allen. He doesn't have kind of the durability of some of the other guys. I don't think you see that special at practice. I think a lot of his stuff, let's throw him out there. See how he takes the live bullets, right? Let's see how he plays in real space, real time, against real teams, at a real speed. But I believe absolutely unequivocally, 8 of the 12 first-round quarterbacks, there are questions in the building. Ask yourself, why? Patrick Mahomes, there were no questions in the building with Patrick Mahomes. So even though the Chiefs were winning, losing, you know, they were like 9-7 that year. There was no rush. They were winning enough. They just kept Alex Smith in because they knew Mahomes was the guy. The Chargers were, I was told this by the Chargers. They were planning on sitting Justin Herbert all year long. They knew he was good. There was no questions in the building. They're like, I talked to their GM. It's like, huge arm, great kid, 4-point. He's going to be great. But we're no hurry. Everybody wants to sit their guy. So why with a red-hot team that's overperforming and for the first time in 20 years, it's a winnable division, the Patriots are bad, Buffalo is like reeling, you pull him? Because I think there's questions in the building. And I think the next 2 weeks when he faces Kyler Murray and Joe Burrow, I think you're going to size him right up and look right up. And who does he face the next 2 weeks? Kyler Murray's one of them. And I think, is it Justin Herbert? Justin Herbert. You can size him right up. He doesn't have the wiggle of one or the arm of the other. And I think it's going to become prominent. But I think if you know, there's no rush. You would never take a hot quarterback. I mean, Mahomes, everybody in the building knew. Peter Schrager told me. He's like, everybody in the building knew. Like, we got a star. What's the hurry? We're winning enough games. Let's just let him sit here. We're probably good enough to make the playoffs. They had Alex Smith, who was, well, I mean, we know what Alex is. Alex is closer to Ryan Fitzpatrick than he is to Patrick Mahomes, right? I mean, that's fair to say. So I do think it's an experiment, and I don't blame Miami. Frankly, I think Joy and I said this. You got to figure it out. You got to see if he can play. Because there's not a lot of special you're going to see at practice with him. He's not big, doesn't have a huge arm, doesn't have a huge wiggle. You got to see him play. But I absolutely think this is an audition. And in the NFL we have today, there's a lot of auditioning all the time. Coming up next, 4 teams in the NFL were very good last year. All 4 bad, including one of them playing tonight, San Francisco. They're a mess. Only one of those 4 that were winners a year ago and are bad now is rebounding. It will come back. And I think you'll see it tonight. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This holiday season, get comfortable. Tommy John underwear, $25 off site-wide through November 9th. TommyJohn.com/Herd. See site for details. $25 off site-wide. They don't do that very often. In November, I'm wearing it right now. I feel very comfortable today on Thursday. I mean, the country doesn't have a president, but I feel very, very comfortable right now. Joy Taylor joining me, Nick right around the corner. So tonight, San Francisco plays Green Bay. It's kind of a mess. I'm going to read. This is true. So the 49ers will not have a single person from the NFL championship that touched the ball. Garoppolo's out. Their 6 leading scrimmage yard leaders are all out. And Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a running back. You know, so it's San Francisco's going to lose this game. Backup quarterbacks. None of the guys you saw NFC championship that touched the ball. None are available. COVID injuries. So every year I do something. I come out and I say, okay, there's 2 teams that were really good. They're not going to be any good. And I get just nothing but hate mail. This year we have 4. Had I said before the year, New England would be bad. Oh, wait, I did. You'd gone nuts, right? People were like, you're crazy. New England was good. They're no good. Minnesota was good. They're no good. San Francisco was good. They're now no good. Houston was good. They're no good. Now, they're all explainable. New England lost the greatest quarterback of all time. Houston was poorly run for years. It caught up with them. Minnesota's defense got worse, and they had to rely on Kirk Cousins, and he's not that kind of quarterback. And San Francisco, injuries ravaged. I think there's only one of those 4 that will bounce back. I think Minnesota's still stuck with Kirk Cousins. I think Houston's still poorly run next year. I think New England can get a new quarterback, but he's going to be 23 years old, and they have no speed anywhere offensively. I think San Francisco's a bounce-back team. And it's going to be interesting because they're going to have probably 3 options at quarterback. And we all acknowledge Kyle Shanahan is really smart when it comes to offense. Like, nobody disputes that. He's 4-0 against McVay with Garoppolo. His options are going to be go trade for Matt Ryan, who Shanahan has worked with. Go get Sam Darnold. Probably only takes you a first or a second pick. Or stick with Garoppolo. So Peter King and I are under the assumption, he came on yesterday, that the Garoppolo thing is done. He's had too many injuries. Kyle's not going to run this thing back again in the division with Kyler Murray. Jared Goff never gets hurt and Russell Wilson. Here's Peter King yesterday.
Right now, if Kyle Shanahan is being honest, if John Lynch is being honest, all they can go by is what they see. When he's played, about half the time, he's played at a C level. And last year, regardless of what the 49ers said in the playoffs, you know, they basically, you know, after he had his Steve Sachs, experience toward the end of the year, early in the playoffs, they went to the run. They love Jimmy Garoppolo, the person, but I think right now they're unconvinced about him as a quarterback.
So it's going to be very interesting in San Francisco, because I think their offensive and defensive line play is way better than average. I think their coach is an A. I think their GM solid. Their ownership solid. It's going to be, who does Kyle Shanahan like at quarterback? And for all the critics of Sam Darnold, this will be the test. Because Matt Ryan will be available for a price. We know Atlanta's going to get a top pick. And we know Atlanta's willing to move off their GM and their coach. And there's already been Arthur Blank acknowledging, we're not sure yet what we're doing. So this will be the test. For those who doubt Darnold, this will be the test. Do you want a pocket passer past his prime Matt Ryan, or this losing quarterback Sam Darnold that everybody in America doesn't like except me? Because we know that Shanahan knows offense. We know Shanahan is smarter than us with football. And I think this is the one team that has the personnel, just injuries, that will bounce back next year if they get the quarterback right. Who will they choose? Garoppolo, Matt Ryan, or Darnold? I'm going with Darnold. That's my gut feeling. And I would, too. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, another team that's going to have to make a decision on their quarterback of the future is the Browns.
Yes.
Is he going to be with the team moving forward? GM Andrew Berry wouldn't give a clear picture on if they view him as the future of the franchise.
Honestly, I really don't get too caught up in that type of narrative. You know, all I know is that I think Baker has played well and he's done a nice job during these first 8 weeks. He's allowed us to play winning football. We've had winning football from that position. Expect him to keep doing that over the second half of the year. And, you know, look, we're going to be in a good place, you know, as a team and organization if that's the case.
Interesting answer. That was very vague and ambiguous.
I was listening very closely for Baker Mayfield is the future of the franchise.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Baker Mayfield is our quarterback of the future, or...
You didn't hear that, did you?
Yes. The Browns have to make a decision on the fifth-year option by the first week of May.
So they have the rest of this year and after the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So they got after free agency. Plenty of time.
Yes. Picking up Mayfield's option would cost them a projected $25 to $26 million in fully guaranteed money for the 2022 season. He is at 61.4 completion percentage, a little over 1,500 yards, 15 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and of course the Browns are 5-3.
With a great running game, an excellent offensive line, top tight end and wide receiving talent.
All right. If you look at his numbers, obviously last year I don't really hold against Baker because it was completely chaotic. But, you know, he's around what he was his rookie season, which was a good rookie season.
You watch Joe Burrow, Joy. Do you want the fourth best quarterback in your division?
Well, here's kind of where I am with this, though. If you pick up his option, obviously you're committing to him. But are the Browns going to be in a situation where they can move off of him? Like, what are the Browns' options going to be?
Well, they're going to play him this year, and my guess is they're going to play him next year. I think he has got another 25 games in Cleveland. But I go back to this. I say it constantly. You cannot have the fourth most talented quarterback in your division. He doesn't have the juice of Lamar, the talent of Ben, and he is clearly not Joe Burrow, who's playing with nothing and going to the wire against Baker head-to-head in games.
I don't disagree. I just don't know what the Browns' other options are. And I think a bigger picture point, what everyone is missing, is the Browns really missed their window. They missed their window when the Steelers were down and when the Bengals were terrible. And we weren't quite sure what the Ravens were. And well, now Baker, we know what the Ravens are moving forward. And I think Lamar Jackson is only going to continue to improve. Steelers are back. And the Bengals have the quarterback of the future.
No question on that last statement.
So
he is shocked. I thought he would be good. He is excellent so far.
You had an itty-bitty window to squeeze in there and take advantage of your
Would have been perfect
division.
If the quarterback came out of college mature and ready to grow. But you had to deal with a lot of nonsense.
They had a lot of nonsense going on internally as
fair.
Well.
It's That's not totally fair.
Totally on Baker Mayfield. But I do think if you had someone like Joe Burrow come into that situation, it might have gone differently.
Might have? Can you see Burrow with this group?
Well, Joe Burrow is quickly making a name for himself by putting up strong numbers so far his rookie season, and he still thinks he has a long way to go in the league.
I thought I would play well. There's obviously still a lot of room to improve, and you know, I'm just scratching the surface on where I can be and where I can go. So, you know, that's the most exciting thing for me.
Love him. Absolutely love him. He's been fantastic.
I'm so glad you've come around, Joe
Burrow. Listen, it's again, I'm not as impressed with a trust fund kid who says I'm a millionaire. Where did you come from? What is he dealing with? He's doing a remarkable job. He's a rookie of the year. To me, he's a rookie of the year. I think he's sensational.
He's tied with Justin Herbert, according to Fox Bet, plus 100 for offensive rookie of the year. Justin Jefferson's plus 1,800, Tua plus 2,000, and Chase Claypool at plus 2,500.
I'd probably put Burrow 1, Herbert 2, and Chase 3. Chase has been great, but he is a wide receiver, and the quarterback position demands more.
Yeah, Chase would have to do something extremely historic, I think, to overtake Burrow or Herbert at this point. But what I like most about Burrow, and aside from what I already liked about him in the draft, is that he's come in and been completely quarterback heel.
Yes.
Which is what I expected anyway.
Grown up.
He has dealt with, yep. I mean, anyone would get frustrated getting sacked as much as he is. He's never said a word about it. He's completely a winner. And I think if you look at what's going on with LSU, now obviously they lost a lot more than just Joe Burrow, but
yeah.
They're not doing well this season.
That's right.
So it is telling. You say all the time, what does a place look like after you leave that does play a role in
LSU
how good you
with
were
30 NFL guys. Look at them.
What you did to elevate that situation. So the Cowboys have not named their starting quarterback this Sunday against the Steelers yet. So Mike Tomlin is shifting his focus to another player ahead of the game this week. He said, I know Ezekiel Elliott has a lot of our attention and preparation, rightfully so. Common sense tells you he'll be a central figure in your game plan. Yes, I would agree with that. That is common sense since they don't know who their quarterback is going to be, and it is Thursday. So Ezekiel Elliott is the main fixture of that offense at this point. He's had 132 carries, 521 yards, 5 touchdowns. He's also fumbled 5 times this season. But, you know, Fox Bet has the Steelers favorite at 13.5.
I you got to run from that game. They should win by 40. I'm not going to bet that game. It's a trap game.
But think about this, though. You know, Mike Tomlin's talking about focusing on Zeke, and we already know what the Steelers' defense is. Look what they did with Derrick Henry and that Titans' run game and offense. Like, what are they going to do to the Cowboys if that's what they're doing against the Titans and Derrick Henry, who are dominant in that phase of the ball? Like, what are they going to do? I this could be like
40-3
all-time bad game for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think it will be. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Ah, my buddy Nick Wright. First things first, check it out every morning. Weekdays, 7:30 a.m. Eastern, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. 7:30 a.m. Eastern, not Easter. All right, Nick Wright is joining us. All right, let's get to the Baker Mayfield thing because I like to be America's honesty broker, but some have suggested that I lean a little anti-Baker. Breaks my heart, but I'm going to give the floor to you. You run the Cleveland Browns. What do you do with Baker?
Yeah.
You know, Nick, my rule is you can't have the fourth best quarterback in a division. You just can't, at least not long term. What do you do with Baker?
Yeah, listen, it's election season. People understand you're a Baker conservative and a Darnold liberal, right? That's about what it is. Like, Darnold, it's, oh, wait, what about this? What about that? Baker, it's what about this? What about that? So here's the thing, and here's where I'll defend Baker. This year's quarterback draft class seems like it's going to be very good, the one that we just had, Tua, Herbert, Burrow. But We don't know yet because it's been too early. Can we look at what the last 5 years of first-round quarterbacks look like? I made this fancy graphic this morning for First Things First, and I saw you did something similar, and I think it's worth delving into because what are we evaluating Baker against? He's obviously not Mahomes, and I think it's safe to say Lamar is a star, Watson is a star, and Murray could be. Is there any other quarterback taken in the first round the last 6 years that you're convinced is better than Baker? Goff and Wentz went just as high as Baker did in the draft, essentially.
Yeah.
They've been worse this year.
Well,
those other guys might lose their jobs, and the other guys beneath them already have lost their jobs, Colin. So, like, can I just put it back to you? Like, what are we judging Baker against?
Okay, so I agree with the GOAT tier and the Pro Bowler tier, and the average starter tier, Goff and Wentz. But Goff has been to a Super Bowl, and he got there without a legendary defense, and at the time, an old offensive line. Wentz and Goff are better than average starters. Baker's in the barely holding on with Darnold, Jones, and Allen when you consider the quality of people he played on. So I agree with your graph. I just don't think Baker, with his off-field stuff, with some of the nonsense, I think Goff and Wentz, there may be questions in the building. I think this Cleveland staff, they're looking for anything but a question. I don't think there's any confirmation in the building from anybody that he's the guy. That's my difference of opinion.
Colin, you're talking about Wentz. This weekend, when we saw Cowboys-Eagles, we got to see in real time the experiment of what if you pulled a fan out of the stands to play quarterback in the NFL, and we got to see Ben DiNucci. That's the level of play we got from Carson Wentz in that travesty of a game. Carson Wentz was good, was great for 13 games in his career. That's it. Goff, when you talk about Baker having everything perfect, Goff had everything extra perfect and since then has regressed. So, we just see it differently. Would I give Baker a contract extension? No. Would I pick up his fifth-year option? Absolutely. And I know Joy was talking about the Browns missing their window. I feel like people are trying to skip a step with the Browns. In the 50 games, before Baker Mayfield stepped on the field, they won 4 times. They're going to make the playoffs this year. It's a massive improvement, so let's just give it a little bit of time.
All right. So Brian Flores, who I think everybody kind of thinks is going to be one of the Belichick guys that works, it looks like that, he says this is not an experiment for Tua. And I say, if it's not an experiment, find me the examples of a team that won 3 of 4, all 3 by blowouts, only lost close to a Super Bowl potential team, Seattle. You pull him. The quarterback is shocked. You can win your division for the first time in 20 years because Belichick and Brady aren't working together. Let's just pull him and try Tua. I think they're doing it because they have Houston's pick. I think they're doing it because Tua doesn't have the size, the arm, or the wiggle to blow you away at practice. And I think people in the building are like, we better find out in 10 games because I see what you can be. It's called Burrow and Herbert. I see what you can be. It's called Lamar and Kyler Murray. I'm going to give you 10 games. That's 2020. That's the new rule. I do think it's an experiment with Tua. Do you?
No. I must admit, I heard you talking about this.
Yes.
And I asked off the air, your ace producer, Alex Rosenbaum, I said, is there a story I'm missing? Have I just been following the election and Tua got hurt again? Like, what's going on? Tua's on the hot seat a game in? They just drafted him. You said he doesn't have the size. Did he shrink since May? Like, they know, what are we talking about here? They could have had Herbert. They liked Tua more. Don't you think it's possible they went to him because of how he's looked in practice? They're like, you know what? He's not going to be that much of a downgrade from Fitzpatrick even as a rookie. We think we can make the playoffs with either guy, so let's go with the player with the upside who we need to get the reps to. You know how much I adore and respect you, Colin Cowherd.
Yeah.
This is approaching your Mount Rushmore of craziest things I've ever heard you say. He's played 5 quarters. And you're like, oh, hot seat. It's 2020. What are we talking about?
All right, well, we'll see. Okay, so I said, Jeter is New York. Aikman is Dallas. Big Ben is Pittsburgh. There are players that feel like an organization. Tom Brady wasn't Boston. He's aspirational. He's happy. He's international. He married a supermodel. His brand is avocado ice cream and yoga. He's not Boston. He conformed to Boston. What you're seeing now, his relationship with AB, taking more risks, wanting to help run a team, putting it out there. This is who he is. And people in Boston are like, boy, Tom is changing. And I'm like, no. Belichick is New England. Smart, cranky, and intense. And he golfs in Nantucket. That's a vacation for him for an hour. Like, I think Tom, this is closer to who he is. He is a pro player, big risk, put it out there. And I think the AB thing's going to work spectacularly. Your thoughts?
Oh, okay, so I think the most interesting things that are going to be said about that topic, you just said them. So I want to take this slightly different because I had an aha moment while I was watching your monologue this morning. Brandon Marshall said something very interesting to me this morning when we were arguing about Baker Mayfield. He said, Nick, you like Baker because you're like Baker. Chip on your shoulder, always felt underestimated, some questionable off-the-field decisions, have a bit of a brashness to you. And I thought about it, and I was like, okay, you might have a point. And then I hear your ongoing love affair with Tom Brady, and I'm like, oh, that's it. Colin loves Brady because Colin is Brady. He knows what his brand is, always trying to expand it, was once in a cold northeastern city, couldn't wait to get out of there, married a supermodel wife, married a famous artist wife. There's a lot of things. Okay. If we can continue the analogy, taking a younger, maybe with questionable off-field resume, you know, protege under your wing, trying to help them along. Like, there's a lot of things here where I see Colin Cowherd and Tom Brady. So he can never do wrong in your eyes because you're looking in a mirror. Maybe a slightly better looking mirror, but you're looking in a mirror. And so that's what's happening here.
Well, God, what you really said is you're Baker and I'm Brady, and I'd rather be me according to your analogies right there. I'll be honest
with
you.
Yeah, I mean, for the time being, sure.
Finally, a minute left. Yeah. I'm going to throw the craziest thing I've ever said. So the NBA is going to start in December, okay. And LeBron's like, timeout. I just got done playing 8 weeks ago. Okay, if you're one of the final four teams, Denver Lakers, Boston, Miami, and you play any team that did not go into the bubble, you always play Denver, Lakers, Boston Heat. Get that. That's a home game. Those four teams this year are going to play 65% of their home games. Any non-bubble team that's had 8 months off, you play one of those four. LeBron's like, hey, if you're going to make me play now, I get something back because I saved the league. If I opt out, the league's not the same. Those teams, anytime they play a non-bubble team, they play at their place. Am I nuts?
Okay, so that is such a you know, outside the box idea. I haven't fully, I would need more time to think about that specific proposal. But I do totally agree that if they are going to try to start December 22nd, there needs to be some type of dispensation for the teams, there's a level of it for the teams that made the bubble, another level for teams that made the playoffs, and another level for the final four. Because if you didn't make the bubble, you've had the longest offseason ever. If you made the bubble and not the playoffs, you've had a pretty standard offseason. Meanwhile, the Lakers and the Heat, and as you mentioned, the Nuggets and the Celtics, their offseason's going to feel like just one long all-star break and that's it. So I don't know if you have quite solved it, but I think it's got to be something along those lines. I'm going to let that you've given me a lot to think about here. I got to let it marinate for a moment. It is certainly not the craziest thing you've ever said. It is not even close to the craziest thing you've said in the last 31 minutes because you just benched Tua and he just started playing. But it is very interesting. I like it a lot.
Oh, that's funny. I already benched
Tua.
Talk
to you later, buddy.
Nick Wright, first thing.
Yeah,
first.
You did. He's out. Tua's out. See you, my friend.
All right, Greg Cosell, top of the hour. Coming up next, I'm going to say something here about my the quarterback tier thing. He just did a tier thing. I'm going to do a quarterback tier thing, and I don't want to get too much into it. I think I'm going to surprise you. You know, because I don't want to do top 10 lists for quarterbacks. I think there's three tiers. Hall of Fame, future, I'm not interested. And I just thought of something this morning. I'll talk about that coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Good to have you. Let me read this real quick. RackTech, more than a grill to lifestyle. Smart grill technology. Start the grill on your phone. Greg Cosell, top of next hour. It is a Thursday today. Nick Wright made me laugh. He just makes me laugh. He's funny. He's one of my best friends. He's funny. So I was saying this. It's been really cool. I love professional football. I love college football. And it's really exciting to see these young quarterbacks come in and really hit immediately. Now it's easier today than it was 10 years ago. It's easier for Lamar and Burrow and Herbert. You can't touch the quarterback. I mean, years ago, you could win a Super Bowl. The Baltimore Ravens won a Super Bowl when they had Ed Reed and Ray Lewis and Chris McAllister. They would grab the receiver. You could just grab him at the line of scrimmage. You could jostle with him downfield. It's a different world. You can't hit receivers high. What does that mean now? Receivers go over the middle, and they're very confident. It was 10 years ago. Receivers, you could name the guys that would go over the middle. Guys didn't want to go over the middle. Alligator arms was a term. Like, nobody... Receivers are more confident than ever. Quarterbacks aren't going to get hit. Defensive players have to – Aaron Donald watches where he tackles you. You don't see the violence and the kind of hits. You can't hit anybody up high anymore. So it's just – it's all benefited offensive players. And so it's easier today. But that's the way the game's gone. I still think guys who are great are going to be great and guys that stink are going to stink. It may take guys who are marginal and keep them in the league a little longer. But I'm reading some stuff on Joe Burrow this morning. He's been terrific. Love him. And I thought to myself, it really, in the NFL, it really comes down to three tiers. There's only three. I'm not going to list who's the best because that's just so subjective. But I don't even think this is subjective. The three tiers are, let's go to the first tier. These teams are lucky to have their quarterbacks. They're Hall of Famers. You're lucky. Seattle, Green Bay, Kansas City, and Tampa, you're lucky to have them. That is a once-in-a-lifetime talent. You'll never get anybody in Seattle as good as Russell Wilson ever again. Tampa's been around for 40 years. They've never had anybody even close to Brady. Rodgers and Favre, I mean, come on. You just don't go from Favre to Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. These are once-in-a-franchise talent. The second group of guys, they're the future. Now, the future may not be 10 years. It may be four. But it's Burrow, Derek Carr, who I like more than the rest of you. Goff, who I like more than the rest of you. Herbert, Lamar, Kyler, Ben, Ryan, Deshaun, and Carson. In the building, there is a belief almost overwhelmingly that's the guy for at least the next 3 years. Like Ben could retire. And I don't list everybody here. And then the third tier is you got to make phone calls. I put some of the people that are the best. So I didn't put just everybody here. Kirk Cousins, Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan, Bridgewater, Breeze, Josh Allen, Garoppolo, Cam, Dak. That I think you're making calls. I think you have to consider drafting somebody. Now, Josh Allen's the interesting one. I didn't put Baker or Darnold in here because we know the Jets are probably going to move off him, and we don't think Baker's going to be in Cleveland forever. These are the guys. Now, Bridgewater, like him, but they know there's limitations with Teddy. Breeze is old. Josh Allen, to me, is a guy that was bad in college, bad his first year. He's back to being not very good, and he was good for about 2 hours. I think he's losing people in Buffalo because I think this coaching staff is great in Buffalo. But I may be wrong on that. Here's my point. The quality of quarterback is so good. The bar has been raised so much with like Burrow and Justin Herbert. I mean, it's just like getting raised. And it's going to get raised more next year with Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. It's going to get raised again. That the bottom of tier two in many eyes is Jared Goff, who many of you would not put in. Just think about this. Here's how good the quarterback plays. Here's how much the bar has been raised. Jared Goff in the NFL is averaging, if you look at his numbers, he's a 65% completion guy, a mid-90s passer rating guy, and you get two touchdowns for every pick. That's the bottom of tier two. By the way, I think he's Matt Ryan with a better arm and more athletic. And Matt Ryan won an MVP. That's how good I think the league is. That this is a middle to a bottom tier two guy is Jared Goff, who I absolutely think will get to another Super Bowl, as long as he gets protection and some weapons with Sean McVay. So when you see the quality of these guys come in and pop, and then next year with Trevor and Justin, man, that raises that tier two. Half this league right now is thinking about somebody else. Greg Cosell next.